Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray to start us off. Dear Heavenly Father, I do just want to thank you so much for all of these women here, God. It's been such a great experience just, you know, getting to be here and hanging out last night and just having fun and being silly, Lord. These women are so precious to me, and I don't know where I'd be without them, God. Thank you for them, and thank you for this weekend, just for everybody here, and even for the women that didn't get to make it, Lord. God, I just pray that we can learn how to be encouraging sisters and to be there for each other. We love you a lot. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, I'm going to talk about going deeper into your relationship and really getting to know each other. I know a lot of us have started the discipling relationships within the past year, and I know for us, like for the young adults, it's been going awesome, like just getting to know each other more and being on that deeper level. We're going to start off in Titus 2, 3 through 5. It says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So this is a really good verse just to start off with. I mean, it shows us right here that we are here in each other's lives for a reason. We're not just here, you know, just to be friends either, but to really show each other how to live our lives and push each other towards God. I like to look, there's a big difference in my relationships before I got to know God and after I got to know God. You know, before I got to know God, I picked and choose my relationships. I stayed away from people that were the opposite of me. I didn't like loud people. I didn't like, you know, outgoing people. I was just very like, I'm going to stick with the quiet people and hang out over here, and I'll get to know them. They're easier to talk to. I can listen more, so, which doesn't really make sense if they're quiet too, but I can get some people to talk sometimes, so, you know, I really enjoy doing that. So I definitely pick and choose my friends. And after I got to know God and started, you know, having a relationship with Him, I realized that my relationships, there's a purpose behind my relationships. It's not just for me. I looked at friendships as what I can get out of them, what makes me comfortable, you know, what makes me comfortable, really. I would just pick those people. But God has a way of picking people that you're not comfortable with to be friends with. And that's awesome, though. You know, you step outside your comfort zone, but it's definitely worth it. I wanted to give a couple examples that I've had in my life where I feel like I know I've been so blessed with. But I know most of you know Mickey Howley, yes. And you know, well, some of you know me. But we're completely opposite. Completely opposite. She is very loud, very outgoing, wants to be in front of everybody and tell, you know, like, and she's just so, you know, she will start talking to anybody about anything. She'll start talking about God right then and there. And that's amazing to me how she does that. But, you know, she's just ready to go, ready to talk, ready to do anything. And I'm like, let's just hang out back here. Let's just, you know, I'd rather just stay at home and chill and watch a movie or, you know, I like to plan my things out. I like to, you know, take time and think about whether, you know, we should do this or whether we should do that. And she's like, we're just going to do everything. And so, you know, we're very different. But, you know, God, once I got into the young adult ministry, He started putting us around each other a lot. And we really, like, I really started to get to know her. I was very, like, unsure with going into relationships at first, just with, you know, because she kind of intimidated me. I'm not like that. But as I let God just work in our relationships, and I would step out of my comfort zone, and I started talking to her about, you know, things that I see in her life. And she started talking about things that she sees in my life. Like, that, she has been one, like, she is one of my best friends. And she's been able to push me in areas that nobody could ever push me before. Because I would always pick people like me. And they never saw that side of me. They never thought to challenge me in those areas. And so that's definitely one that God, you know, handpicked himself, because I definitely didn't pick her. I would have now, but, you know, like from before, I just would have never picked her. But then there's the other side of that too. And Megan and I, you know, like, she's my girl, and we're very much alike. We should have been twins, I think. We like to do everything. We're pretty much the same. You know, we have a lot of the same personality, and we like the same hobbies. And I would have been friends with her outside of having a relationship with God. But something that I get to see with having the relationship with God, with having a purpose, is we have a deeper relationship than we would have without God. And so I think that's, like, one of the main things, and I think that you guys have since you're here, is having a purpose behind your relationships. Whenever you're going, you know, into your groups and your discipleship groups, are you going with a purpose? Or are you just going just to have friends and just to hang out? You know, it's comfortable and it's easy to just go there and hang out and get to know each other on a shallow level, but what about the real stuff, the good stuff? I thought about one of my favorite hobbies is swimming. Like, I like to swim laps, and I've done that forever. And, you know, it's kind of like shallow water is more comfortable, but it's not until you get into the deep water until you really know what swimming is. You know, you're just going to stand there in the shallow water, and it's comfortable, it's nice and warm, and you get to see everything, but you're not really swimming. You're just standing there. But the thing is that deep water can be scary, especially if you don't know how to swim or you're not used to the water. But relationships can be scary too. You know, being vulnerable and being open with one another and really getting at what's going on in your lives, the problems, the hurts that you have, that's scary to be open like that. But, you know, when we force ourselves to step out of the shallow end, we get to see who people really are. We get to see who, and they get to see who we really are. You know, I think that's scary for me sometimes, is I'm very driven by, I want to look put together, and I want to look like I've got things going, and I'm organized, and, you know, the whole deal. And when the girls get to know me, they know that I can be very selfish, and that I can have a big attitude problem, and that, you know, I get a bad attitude really easily, and they know that about me, and they still love me, and they're still there, and we still get together every week for our discipleship groups, and we still hang out, you know, throughout the week, and that's what real relationships are, a friendship with a purpose. Go ahead, if you're in your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 13. So you definitely want to have purpose whenever you're with your relationship. You know, our purpose, and I don't know if I stress, like, the purpose of the relationship is to glorify God. It's to push each other. You know, we're in our lives to be there for each other, to encourage each other, and to challenge each other to live a life that looks like Christ. So besides that, a really big thing I like to look at whenever I'm discipling my girls, when I'm getting with my girls, am I giving them affection and direction? These two things I think of all the time, because that helps me with my purpose. That helps me have something in my head that, you know, why I'm with these girls, why they're in my life. So affection and direction. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul's talking to the Thessalonians. It's starting at 1. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So can't you just see the affection that Paul has for them? He didn't just come up to them and say, you know, this is God's word, this is what he wants for your life, I'll see you later, I gotta move on. He stayed there with them. He shared his life with them. He got to know them and he loved them. And you can see just by reading this letter that he wanted to make the most of his time there, that he really dug deep with them and showed them his lives. And I think that can be the easiest part, and it can be the hardest part of having a discipling relationship and just in friendship. Because it's easy just to get together and be silly and hang out. But are we sharing our lives? Are we loving each other and being there for each other through our hard times? Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Love each other with genuine affection. I know for me, I get caught up in life. Like when I thought about loving each other with genuine affection, I'm thinking, yeah, and I want to love these girls and I want to show them everything I have, but I also have a job to do and I have this to do and I'm a part of this ministry, I'm part of that, I'd have to do this. Like my life is crazy, I just don't have time just to go over and have dinner every other night with people, you know, and there's my bad attitude coming out, you know, but it's like I don't take the time to just think, I want that to be my life, though. I don't care if I'm busy. It shouldn't be busy. You're going and you're living your life with these women. They're coming to your house. You're going to their house. Showing them genuine love. You know, whenever I was doing this, I started just going off on the whole love thing. And I had like 2 pages full of verses and like how to love. Like, we have to know what love is in order for me to, you know, move on from this. But, you know, there's a whole nother lesson on love, and I know you guys know, you know, what love is, and we have the resources to look at that, but just digging deep and really searching out what love is and what love isn't. It also says, delight in honoring each other. Take the time to get to know them. I don't know how many times I can stress that, just because I know, you know, that it's hard sometimes for us just to relax and get to know them, but it says delight in it, so have fun in it. You know, this isn't just something that we have to do. These women aren't here just because we need to get to know them, because they're going to be able to challenge us and we need to make sure they know who I am. But delight in it and have fun with it. I don't literally think a lot of us have too much problem with that. But, you know, I know I definitely have fun when I get with my girls. And I know that you guys do too. And we always are laughing and stuff. So I don't think we have too much of a problem with that. But something else that I do have a little bit more of a problem with is the direction side of things. I don't know if I don't have a problem with it. It's very much out of my comfort zone. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Just think about how do we sharpen each other. Does anybody have any ideas? Like, just yell them out. Like, how, when you think about sharpening each other, how do you think we sharpen each other?
Yeah.
Conflict, challenge, encouragement, our example. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when people that are different get together, there's so many ways where we can sharpen each other. I was going over this, and I was going a whole other way with this, but Justin was talking to me about it. And, you know, he's talking about when iron sharpens iron, there's going to be friction. There's going to be heat. That makes things uncomfortable a lot of times. And I know that the uncomfortableness is what kills me. Like, I don't know what it is about me, but I will avoid anything that makes me uncomfortable in that area. Like, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I want you to be okay with me. Like, that, it just takes everything out of me to come up and say, you know, you're not living your life reflecting, you know, God's image. That's not something I don't think that, you know, God would want for you. I don't know why, but that's just, you know, that's the hardest thing. But those are the things that sharpen us. That's the purpose behind our friendship, is being that iron that sharpens iron, being there to sharpen each other. Something I thought about is, and I know that all of you have been through this, or you have scissors that are as dull as could be, but there is one little spot on there that actually works. So you're trying to cut this fabric or this paper, and it's either at the very tip of the scissors or the very end of the scissors, and you're like, okay, I can do this, and then it rips because you go too far, you don't go enough. And, you know, it's because the whole thing isn't sharp. And that's the thing with the different people in your life. All these different women around you are going to sharpen different areas of your life. So you are sharp. So you can be more valuable. Not more valuable, but, you know, like, it's more, a sharpened scissor is more valuable than not. And I think, you know, being sharp is going to represent God more. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So, I like that point. At the end of the passage, of the Thessalonians passage, Paul says, "For you know that we delight with each of you as a father deals with his, or delight, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who called you in his kingdom and glory." When I see this, I see two sides of it. First of all, is when Paul talks to the Thessalonians, they are eager to hear what they want, what he has to say. When people urge you to live a life worthy of God, do you get offended? The people in your life that are here for you, that are saying those things that might sound harsh, but you know that they love you and they just want the best for you, do you get offended whenever they say, that's not what God calls you to do? You know, that's not looking right, and that's not matching up with what we're called to, like, what we're called to be like. I know a lot of girls that I work with, and I think I have all this too, is that they're afraid of being controlled. You know, if I am to challenge you, they're afraid that I'm just wanting you, or, you know, I just want you to do what I want you to do. But think about why we're here. We're not here just to control each other. We're here to push each other towards God. Our ultimate goal, and I think that's what we have to make sure too when we are challenging each other and making sure that we're not pushing each other to live a life worthy of me, but to live a life worthy of God. And for our ultimate goal is to look like Christ, not to look like me, or not to look like whoever else. You know, that's the biggest thing, and I feel like that takes taking it personal out of it. You're definitely going to take it personal because it's you, but it's not a bash on you. It's not personal from that person. So making sure, I kind of intertwine both of the two sides, but one, that you can take the challenge, that you're not getting offended, that you're not taking it to the next extreme because somebody's trying to work with you, because that's ultimately why we're here anyways, is to help each other. And the other side of it is being that person that will step out and say those things. And that, you guys can challenge me, just bring it on, I'll take it and I'll listen, but it's, you know I need to return the favor, and making sure that we are doing that for each other, because that's just as much love as anything else that you can do for your friends and for your discipleship relationships. Megan is going to come up and talk about some of the ways that she has been discipled and her relationships in her past. Hi, I'm Megan. I have, believe it or not, been around Greater Oaks for about 20 years. Kind of makes me feel old, but I know I shouldn't say that. So, anyway, I have been around, been in the children's ministry, I've been in the campus ministry, and now I'm in the young adult ministry. I'm helping lead in the young adult ministry. So I've had a little bit of experience of different ministries in the church, and I can say that I've had close friendships. I see Elena is here, you know, I've had some very close friendships, but I guess in the past, let's say a couple years, I've had some interesting times that have really helped me change the way that I view friendships. I guess it's been 2 years ago now that I'm in the young adult ministry, and we've had a complete shift in our young adult ministry. I guess a couple years ago, we were in the young adult ministry, and I had what I thought was an amazing group of friends. We all hung out, we had good time, we had spiritual talks, I don't know, but some things happened. I don't know if you know young adults, we had pretty much a good chunk of our entire young adult ministry left, including pretty much all of my close friends. So it was kind of a point in my life where I was like, okay, I can be really hurt and kind of be done with this whole getting close to people. It hurts. All my friends are gone. I think I could just have really shallow relationships and, I'll float along. I'll be okay. I'm good. But that really wasn't going to cut it for me. And God wasn't going to allow that. But when Chris and Alan took over the young adult ministry, it was kind of a mess. But I guess you could say we were kind of the guinea pigs for the discipleship groups and relationships, and Al was kind of, he didn't like come out and say this is what it is. He kind of led us to it ourselves. He kind of was like, okay, you guys need to be, kind of hang out with people, have a good time, hang out, and then he was like, then he would give us the lessons and the scriptures and things to discuss in our groups. And we started having the discipleship groups. We started having on Tuesday nights. I guess there were five of us that met at Chris and Alan's house, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go. We're going to have dinner, and we're going to hang out, and, but it started as that, and I've gained some of the closest friends from that group. I thought, all my friends were gone, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and God is amazing, because I think now I have a even closer group of friends. I have April and Jackie and Amanda and Nikki. Like, we had that group, and it started out as just girls meeting, having dinner, and it grew into we were sharing our lives with each other. It wasn't something where, I know there were times where I went to, like, small group before, or I had other things, and it was, okay, I gotta go, I'm gonna go, and just gonna whatever. It's not like a meaningful thing to me. I'm just going, and it's my thing. I gotta check off my list. And that's kind of when I went into the Tuesday nights, I was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna go get free dinner. I'm gonna go. And it turned into, Chris was with us, and I didn't really know Chris very well. I didn't really know a lot of the girls very well at that point. And we all are pretty different, except for Amanda and I were probably the closest of the two in that group. Everybody else was pretty different. But that group was amazing. And it was the first time that, I remember Alan asking before, he's saying, who is your discipler? And I was like, what? What is that word? What are you talking about? I don't know. But he was trying to get the idea of discipling relationships. It's not, you're my leader, and I have to do the things that you tell me to do. It's a give and take relationship when you have discipling relationships. And that's what I love about it, because I've had some I really can say that I have some of the closest relationships because it's not like I feel that they have to live up to my standards or I have to live up to their standards. We are living up to God's standards and we're pushing each other closer to God. It's so important to have those discipling relationships in your life. And like everything that Amanda was talking about, by far I'm not perfect in all of those areas, but I definitely can see a difference from just having friendships and things in common to having actual discipling relationships. And I have, I'm very grateful because I've had, you know, ups and downs, and this year has not been, it's been a crazy year. So it's an amazing thing to have those relationships in my life and just seeing the difference. I hope you guys can all see the difference and that you can, you know, value the importance of what a discipling relationship is, because when you have those relationships, they're amazing and they are changing. You can have hard times and you can have good times and you can challenge each other, and you know, it's really great, and I really am looking forward to, you know, I know we said that young adults are the guinea pig for it, and it has changed our ministry. Like I don't even see that ministry that was there, like, you know, 2 years ago. It's crazy that the things that God has done. I know he's still working, but I'm just so excited to see that in our whole church. And just for, you know, to start with all of us ladies, just to really have purposeful relationships. They are amazing and they're very, very important to our relationship with God. So, thank you.
Okay, so, yeah, she did a great job with really showing you, and so you can see what discipling relationships do. You know, I second her with the, like, having that Tuesday night, I feel like it's, like, such a turning point in knowing what real relationships are. And, you know, I haven't been planned to, like, give you guys, like, a whole bunch of examples of things to do for your discipleship group. But when you do have, like, something that's consistent with your friends or the people that you're discipling, it makes, I know for us, and it doesn't for everybody, but it made a huge difference just having that constant. We knew Tuesday nights was our girl night, and that every Tuesday night I would look forward to it. Like, as soon as it's over, I'm like, I'm ready for Tuesday, you know? So it's not like we went out and, you know, did a bunch of crazy stuff, but we just sat around a table for about 2 or 3 hours and just talked, and, you know, it was life-changing. So anything that you guys can think of that you would get something from and that you can give to the girls, your girls in your life, you know, maybe just think of something that you guys can do, maybe not even every week, but every other week, or, you know, once a month, you know, first Saturday of every month we're going to have breakfast, or, you know, anything. I just think it gives you something to look forward to, and it, you know, you can, it'll give you time to share things that are going on. But not just making it that your only time. So, what time it is? 11? What time do we, are we over? 11:15? Okay. So, I'm going to kind of wind it up. I just want to say the awesome part of having these types of relationships in your life is that you're going to work with people you never would have worked with before. If you didn't have God, you would not be with these women. You will be friends with people you never would have thought that you would be friends with. That's, you know, and that's for sure. And you're also going to go deeper with those that would be your best friend anyways. Hebrews 3:12-13. It says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has sinful, unbelieving hearts that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So, just don't overlook all of these relationships that God's put in front of you. All these women that God, you know, has put here for you. They're here for a reason. And I know that as much as I would love to get to know every single one of you, I know that that's not possible to know on a deeper level. But having the girls that are in your groups or, you know, just picking somebody out of the room and just saying, I'm going to get to know them, can change your entire life. So don't take these relationships for granted. God put these women in your life to grow you, to be a shoulder for you, to love you, to correct you, and to be an example to the world. So that is that. And we have a little exercising thing to do, exercise group thing to do. I was originally going to make you guys get up and, like, split up with people that you don't know. And if you're willing to do that and step out into deep waters, you can do that. if not, you guys can think about it and go over these with the girls that you're discipling. This is a little cheesy. I hope you guys like it. Justin didn't really think it was that great, but it's okay. But that's okay. I found a picture of a duck. I really like the analogy of stepping out into deep waters. Okay? Christina? So, I have a duck here, and it's swimming in deep waters. And on the bottom, each part of the duck is labeled. So for your head, you're going to, like, right by the head, what do you think about all the time? Doesn't matter, if it's godly, not godly, whatever in your life, what do you think about all the time? Your eyes. How do you want people to see you? And these are just things just to get your minds thinking. Your back, right on the back, problems and worries you're going through. And after you guys fill these out, if you want to do it today or if you want to do it later, just get with some people and talk about these things. Originally we were going to have enough time to, like, sit here for a while and really think about it and really get to, talk about these things. But I thought you guys wouldn't really, I was going to put you in groups where you didn't really know each other. So it'd be kind of things to talk off of. But even if you don't do that now, you can still do that later. And it just kind of gives you guys something to think about. So I'll go ahead and pass these out.